This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak!
What's up, world? It's your boy, Salpaul. S-A-U-L-P-A-U-L. One word, two capitals, no space. You know what it is. If you don't, get to know me. Stay tuned in. This is my new podcast, and we always like to start with some music to set the tone. So check it out.
See, I don't care what they say. I just know what's true. See, I was born to be great. And that's what I'm gonna do. See, I don't know what they think. I just know what I choose. I choose to choose hope, choose life, choose right, shine bright like any time. I don't care what they say. What I know is true. I was born to be great. Yeah. And that's what I'm gonna do. I don't know what they think. What I know is I choose. I choose to choose hope, choose life, choose right, shine bright like any time.
Anytime, we always open up with new music, like, anytime. That right there is a song called Choose, off the album All-Star Anthems, by yours truly. I am Salpaul, you are tuned in to Salpaul's Music, Motivation, and More podcast, and I am so, so excited. This is episode one, the debut episode. Be sure to tune in to episode 2, 3, and 4 so you can get a good overview of what it's really about. We have many special segments and features. Some of those include tour life. That's when I talk about life on the road and highlight unique things from my latest exploit. We have the music segment where I'm always introducing new music or deep cuts or, you know, behind the music or improvisational freestyles. You never know. We have in the headlines, it is as it sounds. I talk about what's going on in the headlines. I try to avoid politics and religion, but I like to be provocative. So sometimes I talk about politics and religion. No, real talk, I just think different. And so it's different by default and entertaining at the same time. And then we have interviews. That's what I'm most excited about. My career path allows me to go very unique places and meet very unique and inspiring people. And I'm excited to be able to bring those experiences and more so those people to you. So, this is the week before the Super Bowl. Myself, I'll be flying out to Atlanta for Super Bowl 53 to play my part in some festivities. But I'm not playing in a Super Bowl. But today's guest played in 3 Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. Super Bowl 10, 12, and 13. He won Super Bowl 12, brought the Lombardi Trophy back home to Texas, and still flosses his Super Bowl ring. The diamonds shine bright, but his life even shines brighter. I know that he's very proud of the work that he's done the last 3 decades. So with no further ado, I'll let him tell you about it. Thomas Hollywood Henderson. What's up, world? It's your boy, Salpaul. As you know, you are tuned in to Salpaul's Music, Motivation, and More podcast. I'm out here living my best life, hoping to play some part in you living yours. As I'm out and about on my travels, hashtag tour life, I get to meet the most amazing people. I actually happen to be in the same state right now as Tommy Henderson. I like to call him Hollywood. I know from our previous conversations, that's not a preference. Mr. Henderson, why don't you say hello?
Good. Welcome to South Florida.
Man, it's beautiful out here. Literally where I'm at, not a cloud in the sky. But it wasn't that bad in Texas when I left. It wasn't that bad in Austin. But you know a little bit about that, correct?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Austin. I was born in Austin in 1953. And I lived on the east side of Austin in a very segregated community. We didn't have very much when I was growing up, but we didn't know it.
And you said a profound point, I believe. It's but people always are in awe of, like, you know, growing up in a bad environment, in poverty and whatnot. Myself, I didn't even know it till after I left Houston, where I was born and raised, and came to Austin, that I grew up dirt poor.
You know, I was 16 years old in 1968, and I had four little brothers and sisters. And by this time, I'm noticing that we don't have toilet paper most of the time. We got dinner, you know, but maybe no breakfast and lunch. And I had a grandmother living in Oklahoma City. And I got tired of, you know, I was the oldest child, and I looked like I was out in the way. I looked like they would do better without me. And I can do my thing better by myself. And so, you know, right at 16, right around the time that Martin Luther King was killed, I moved to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and I started my junior and senior year at Douglas High School in Oklahoma City. And from there, I went to Langston University for 4 years. And then in 1975, now this is 7 years removed from Austin, where we didn't have toilet paper, that I was a number one draft choice to the Dallas Cowboys. You can't make that story up.
You cannot make that up, man. Even though they have made many stories, aka movies, about your life, that is profound. Wow. What was that like? Number one draft pick. That's like, it's only so many people that get to play in the NFL. Only so many people that ever get drafted first round. Only so many people that get to play for the Cowboys. And you did all of that. What was that like?
Well, you know, it was surreal because, remember, we didn't have a television most of the time. And when we did have a television, you know, they had the rabbit ears and the TVs didn't work that much. So I didn't know much about pro football. You know, I didn't even know anything about college football, for that matter. I was more likely to become a welder because that was this trade I chose my junior year in high school. In Oklahoma, during that time, 68, 69, 70, 71, if you were in high school, African-American, you had to choose a trade, masonry, tailoring, body and fender, a mechanic, or welding. And there could have been more, but I chose welding. And so here is, I'm going to break my anonymity. I'm a certified welder in the state of Oklahoma. And so I didn't know much about the NFL. I remember, you know, Bob Hayes and Lance Rensel and the Dallas Cowboys, but I didn't really know. And even in college, you know, I worked in the Gulf of Mexico as a roughneck, the summers of, the summers of 72 and 73. I'm just trying to make it, you know. I'm thinking about going to law school. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, going to some college or somewhere to go to law school. And, you know, I bloomed late. You know, I think I stayed in puberty, you know, a couple of days too long. But all of a sudden I'm 18 years old and, you know, I got muscles and hair everywhere. And I, you know, I played football, you know, I was a running back.
You got to help us paint the picture here. Now, like, what are your dimensions? Like, running back?
I'm like 6'2", 200 pounds, and that's pretty good size for high school football. But, you know, I knew how to be tough, you know. I knew how to, you know, really take it to the hill. Because I moved to Oklahoma without my parents, and because Texas and Oklahoma are border states, you are ineligible to play football.
What?
If you move to a border state without your parents. And so that that bummed me out. I couldn't play football my junior year, so I played basketball. And then the Vietnam War was raging, you know, in 70, in 71, my senior year. I was 1A, which meant I was eligible for the draft. But, man, lucky, blessed, whatever you call it, I had flunked a geometry class in Austin at Anderson High School. And so I was able to walk graduation night, but I didn't graduate. And so my counselor enrolled me for a geometry for the summer. And that enrollment put me to 1S, one school, in relation to the Vietnam War and the draft. And I took the geometry class, and I passed, and I got my diploma late summer of 71. No schools were recruiting me. They saw me, but they saw I hadn't graduated. Mm. And so I had nobody recruiting me. Nobody.
Was it a desire at this point? I mean, you played football, but so if you had it your way, you would have been going from high school straight to college, highly recruited?
You know, I didn't even know nothing about that, man. I'll tell you, my mindset was survival, do good.
Exactly, okay.
Go to college, get my hustle on. I mean, you know, I grew up pretty fast. But that summer, standing there, you know, with the military all over me, I just caught a ride up to Langston University. It was about 35 miles from Oklahoma City. I heard they had a football program. I went up there. And I walked in the coach's office, and I says, "I'd like to play for you." He says, "I know exactly who you are." I said, "How do you know who I am?" He said, "You're one of the better players in this state." He says, "I'm surprised nobody recruited you." I said, "Well, I'd like to play for you." That was on a Tuesday. On that Saturday. Well, let me back up. That was on a Tuesday. I practiced that day with somebody else's shoes, somebody else's jock strap, else's shoulder pads, somebody else's pants. That's Tuesday. The starting defensive end broke his ankle on Wednesday. That Saturday, I was in Kentucky, Frankfort, Kentucky, to play against Kentucky State. And I started all 4 years at Langston University. That guy never got his job back.
Mm.
And while at Langston, you know, I went to the Gulf of Mexico, summers of 72, 73. So when I came back to school after the summer of 73, you know, I was Hercules, you know, because everything in the Gulf of Mexico weighs 50 pounds. So I had muscles, and I just really, you know, really developed.
So you had the natural heart, you had the talent, now you put in the effort. When you got the opportunity, you took it and ran. If Langston University, is that an HBCU?
Absolutely. And FYI, last year, 2018, I was inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
So you walked on. Like, man, come on, man. So ultimately, in all essence, you walked on in college. Walked on, and just were honored with a 2018 Black College Football Hall of Fame Award.
Yeah, and if you want to know who my company is, and that is Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, just to name a couple.
I did not know. They, All Black College alumnus as well?
Yes.
Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah, Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley. Walter Payton went to Jackson State. Ed Tuttle Jones went to Tennessee State.
That's pretty interesting right there.
So it's a beautiful fraternity of black men that, now you can't make this up. So now the NFL has put the Black College Football Hall of Fame members into the NFL Hall of Fame, in the building. In other words, we have a wing in the building. So now I tell people, I didn't make the NFL Hall of Fame, but I came through the kitchen, so I'm in the building.
We're in the building. Come on.
I'm in the building.
So, so you walk on in college, start and play all 4 years. So you come out and then you get drafted first round back to Texas, Dallas Cowboys. Take us from there.
Yeah. And, you know, so I get drafted in the first round and, you know, I got, you know, I made about $100,000 my first year in the NFL. I bought my mama a car and a house. And went to the Super Bowl my rookie year, first year in the NFL.
Wow. You really are living a storybook life.
Yeah, I went to 3 out of 4 Super Bowls. And I played in Super Bowl 10, 12, and 13. And we should have been 4 out of 4, except for, you know, this little, they got really lucky on a play at the end of the game against the Rams in Dallas in 76. So we went to 4 in a row. So I am part of a team of a Super Bowl championship, Super Bowl 12, which is phenomenal in my life. And so I played for Tom Landry for 5 years, and then I played for Bill Walsh for 1 year in San Francisco. I played for the Oilers for a little bit, and then the Miami Dolphins is where I ended my career. I broke my neck. And it was my fault because I was trying to, you know, I was a punisher. And so I was trying to punish somebody and punish myself. So I left the game disabled in 1981, 82. And to being the survivor I am, you know, my life keeps getting better and more interesting as it goes.
Man, that's profound. So, how long was your stint in the NFL?
7 years.
So, you even exceeded the average NFL career at that. So, now you get out, so you leave the NFL, and then what's life like post post-NFL? Often I'm talking to young people. I know you speak to young people all the time.
Yes.
I'm like, you shattered somebody's dream when you said you got paid $100,000 your first year, because everybody in their mind, they believe you make $100 million when you go to the NFL. It doesn't matter what year, decade, anything, right? It's just a dream, right? So I'm like, oh, you ruined it for them. But then most people often don't think about life after the NFL. And so how did that come for you? Because I know you, and I love how you you throw numbers out, right? Like 68, 69, 70. Other people, yeah. If you do that, people can start to date you. But you're not worried about that. You're living your best. You are living your best life now, so you're not really worried about that. I met you when you were awarded the 2018 Ceiling Foundation Award, where they honored you for your work in the community in Austin, Texas. Even though you reside in halfway across the country in a different state, but you still give back. So post-NFL, you've lived a good life. How did that, what was that like? Because so many struggle post-NFL.
Well, after the NFL, it was, you know, alcohol and drugs and crazy and jail and tears and disappointment and confusion and blackouts and just crazy. And I woke up in jail and wondered, what the heck just happened? And so by 1986, by 83, by 1983 in November, I quit drinking and quit doing drugs. I have not had a beer, a joint, cocaine, opioids, amphetamines, or barbiturates for 35 years. And so you can wrap that all up, and so that has been what, you know, I've always been a sort of a guy that liked challenges and tasks, and I've almost like always moved before the hand grenade went off. And that was when I left Austin in 68. That's when I drove to Langston, Oklahoma in 71. That's when the Cowboys drafted me. That's when I broke my neck. And so I have a story. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. And so I saw alcoholism in my home and in my family. But I went to treatment in 1983. I went to jail in 1984. I got out in 86. And I booked, this is beautiful. You have to hear this. I booked a speaking engagement at Virginia Tech while still in prison. I got out. 7 days later, I was in Blacksburg, Virginia, speaking at Virginia Tech to 3,000 students. And I haven't stopped since.
Mm.
I have a collection of 12 films. You call them industrial films. Anybody want to check them out? You go to fmsproductions.com and look up Thomas Henderson, and you can see my whole collection of films that are used in rehabs, prisons, and probation and parole offices and juvenile detention centers and schools. Anywhere they're talking about alcohol and drug abuse, a Thomas Henderson film is somewhere on the campus. And so I moved back to Austin from California in 1989. And I worked in the drug and alcohol industry, treatment and recovery industry for about 10 years. I got really involved again in my community. They had closed my high school, Anderson High School, L.C. Anderson High School in East Austin. They closed it in 1971. And when I got back to Austin, I drove past it, and they had turned it into a parking lot because Austin Community College had a remote campus over there at my high school. But when I saw that they had turned this historic stadium into a parking lot, it teared me. I mean, I sat there and thought about it. Dick Night Train Lane played over there. John Harvey played over there. You know, how dare you turn it into a parking lot? Long story short, I turned it back into a football stadium, a beautiful track. You know, I turned it back into what it was supposed to be, and it's there right now, right today, right now. You can go over and see that. And funny thing, so that was November of 1999. That's a good number. That's, well, the Prince used to talk about.
Calm down.
Like, did Prince talk about 1999?
He did. Party like it.
Yeah, so... So 1999, November, I finished the track. No, first of all, no, let's go back. 1999, I fasted for 7 days, no food, in a tent in the middle of this parking lot. And the good citizens of Austin came and went for 7 days. I didn't eat a bite. And I raised $300,000.
Wow.
And then at this football field and this track, and this is November 1999. 4 months later, in March, on my mother's birthday, March 22nd, my mother's birthday, I win $28 million from the Texas lottery. You can't make it up.
Wow.
And I think it was a blessing and a gift. Here it is, 19 years later, I am not one of those stories where a guy won the lottery and went broke. I'm not the story of a guy won the lottery and you know, ruined his life. You know, it enhanced my life. It has given me a good life. But because I'm a, you know, I'm a part street boy, because I was a street boy, I've always had my hustle, you know? I always got mine. And so I'm a survivor. I don't think there's anywhere in the world I couldn't live and prosper.
I feel you. Yes.
That's the way I roll. But, you know, I've been sober 35 years, and that is the whole story. So if you're talking to me today, that is the story. That is the reason. That is the season. That is everything that is about me on a daily basis, still making that fundamental choice to be conscious, to be present, and just give me a shot. You know, I mean, give me a shot at living good. I'm healthy. I support my grandchildren. I have 7 grandkids. I have 2 daughters. I've lived a good life. I've lived an interesting life. You know, I went to the 1976 Grammy Awards. I played in 3 Super Bowls. I won the lottery. I've written 2 books. I've made 12 films. Sometimes I think I'm done, and I'm not.
So let me end with this then. What's next for Tommy Henderson?
I think that that Netflix or Amazon or HBO or ESPN, that there will be the Thomas Henderson story. It may even make the big screen.
There you have it. Saul Paul's Music, Motivation, and More, the podcast, episode 1. It's a wrap. Be sure to check us out for episode 2, 3, and 4 so you can really see what we have in store. This first season will be super fresh. It's all about you as we entertain, inspire, and empower. Hey, choose wise.
See, I don't care what they say. I just know what's true. See, I was born to be great. And that's what I'm gonna do. See, I don't know what they think. I just know what I choose. I choose to choose hope, choose life, choose right, shine bright like every time. I don't care what they say. What I know is true. I was born to be great, yeah. And that's what I'm gonna do. I don't know what they think. What I know is I choose. I choose, I choose to choose hope, choose right, shine bright like every time. They can't block my shine. Can't knock me down. If I fall, still arise, I'ma climb. Made it to the top, now's my time. You hear that tick-tock? Yeah, I'm at my peak like tip-top. Started from the bottom like hip-hop. Show love or keep your lips locked. I already knew I was destined for greatness. I practiced patience, hopped about the matrix. Back to basics, showing love the basics. I've been on stages, putting smiles on faces. Overcoming obstacles I'm faced with. Stopping these mazes, winning all these races. Powered up cause nothing's getting wasted. Just I'm blazing, simply I'm amazing. I don't care what they say. What I know is true. I was born to be great, yeah. And that's what I'ma do. I don't know what they think. What I know is I choose. I choose, I choose to choose hope, choose life, choose right, shine bright like every time. They say, but I know what's true. What's true.
being great. And that's what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna know what they think. What I know is I choose.
I choose.
I choose, choose hope, choose life, choose right, shine bright like any time.